Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by First Bank. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with D-Mac, Tyler Palumbus, and Nick Ferguson. Now, here's the top six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
God, I mean, we know a hybrid striped bass is the same as a wiper. I think we've done something here today. Coach Fangio, what's Drew Locke's status? Not only as a fisherman, but a quarterback.
He's going to start practicing.
Fellas, what do you think the future is? Look into your crystal ball. What do you think the future is for Drew Locke? Not what you would do, but what do you think the Broncos are going to do?
The Broncos are going to hold him out because this week they're going to allow the backups, which is Brett Rippon and Brandon Allen, who's now the starter for this team, to get the bulk of the reps. Like Coach Fangio said, they will make a decision based on what they see in practice. We need to see Drew Locke show us any kind of idea that he is a quarterback of any sorts. What that means, I absolutely don't know, but maybe he'll make some throws in practice that impresses the coaching staff that they want to give him more reps.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the final two games of the season, unfortunately. That's it. And in reality, I think when we get to the Chiefs game, which is the second to last game, Vic Fangio is going to be up there doing his pressers throughout the week. He's going to say that we're going to see plenty of Drew Locke. It's going to be a rotation with Brandon Allen. But we get into the game, and he's a football coach, and he doesn't want to get blown out, so he doesn't put him in the game. And then we only see him for the final game of the year against the Lions.
Wow! Well, final game against the Raiders.
Raiders.
But yeah, okay.
Yeah, like I said, where did Lions come from?
Trout.
he's Trout.
Second to last.
I think when Mike Kliss put out there the plan.
So it'd be Lions, then Raiders. So my whole story didn't work.
It's okay.
Dang it.
But I'm with you with what I think you intended, because Mike Kliss put it out there a while ago. The plan. There is actually a plan, and it's for the final two games of the season. That's not my plan. But I bet that is exactly what happens. Tim Tebow, his rookie year, he started the final three games of the season. So think about that for a second. Tim Tebow started the final three games of his rookie year, and right now, maybe Drew Locke starts the last two. We'll see what happens. Ring it, Richie.
Play fake to Edwards Helaire. Ball going for all of it. Pop. Touchdown, Jamar Chase. Here's an opening. Terrace Marshall is gone. Touchdown, LSU.
Well, Joe Burrow, man, Nick, you called it. You've been telling us for weeks he's your favorite quarterback. He went out there and he looked phenomenal. Takes down Alabama. Throws for almost 400 yards. Did Burrow do enough in your mind to justify all these mock drafts that have got him going number one overall?
For me, yes, he did. He didn't not only perform exactly where I thought he was going to perform against the top program in Alabama. You know, that team is coached well by Nick Saban. They're tough. They're coached hard. They're coached tough. But also look at some of the throws that he made, being able to anticipate, put it on the body of his wide receivers, give them an opportunity to run after the catch. And we always talk about, when we evaluate quarterbacks, the ability to put the ball where you need it. I mean, putting it outside, back shoulder fades, proper placing, footwork inside the pocket, and also 14 rushes for 64 yards. That tells you he's not Lamar Jackson, but he can move the pocket and put deep pressure on a perimeter defense. So he did himself a service and elevated status for the draft in 2020.
I'd be fine with either one of them.
That's it?
Really?
Did he best them?
Yes, he did. He won.
Well, he didn't have the turnovers. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, he looked great. And I think Tua and Joe Burrow will go 1-2 this year. And after that, who knows? It was awesome to watch. it is incredible how things change, and we're really just starting this process. So I think it's exciting, and it looks like this year's draft for quarterbacks is very, very similar to what we faced a couple years ago. And so the concept that only one of these guys, only one will be good, is absolutely preposterous. Ring it, Richie.
So, Bryce Callahan, the guy who I accused of catfishing the Broncos and the Broncos fans, will make his triumphant return to practice, according to Vic Fangio. So, with him coming back to practice, what do you think about that announcement today?
I was surprised, actually. I've just kind of discounted Bryce Callahan, period. I didn't even know he was close to being ready to practice, but I guess I shouldn't be. He was never put on IR, so I guess he could have come back any week. I don't really understand what the point is right now, but, I mean, you spend a lot of money on him. You want to win. I mean, if he gives you a good chance, then go for it. I don't think the Broncos have given up on this year at all, by the way, and I think that's what's hurting the possibility of Drew Lock returning.
I've been waiting for them to say this. Now, we did not hear he was going to play in the game, by the way. We just heard that he's going to attempt to practice. And I think they even said attempt to practice, meaning he'll go out there and see if he feels like going, I guess. I'm not entirely sure what that means. Look, this is one of those moments where you bring somebody into town and you want to be right. So you've carried him on the roster all year long because you feel like he's worth it and you want to prove that your big free agent is a baller. Well, all right, I hope we see him.
But that would be a real expensive practice player, because that's basically what he's going to do. He's going to be a scout team player for Brandon Allen, because I don't think he's going to play this season.
Bring it, Richie. Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, worth $111 billion. In fact, I heard recently he had a bad week stock market-wise, and he lost $8 billion.
Wow.
Because all of his worth is into the stock value of Amazon.
Yep.
So in a bad week, he lost $8 billion.
D-Man, when you say billion, can you do this? Can you put your pinky right by your mouth like Austin Powers?
$1 billion.
Yeah, there you go.
You have shark lasers?
Holy cow. Shark. Well, you know, we talk about, oh, could John Elway or Peyton Manning, you know, rich guys buy the Broncos? We're like, no. This is the guy who can buy the Broncos. This is the type of guy who can buy an NFL team. There was an article about his interest in the NFL teams. He's actually buddies with Daniel Snyder and has been talking to him about it. And the two teams brought up in the article were the Seattle Seahawks, because Paul Allen's passing, and Pat Bowlen's passing the Broncos. How would you feel if Jeff Bezos owned the Denver Broncos, and should the Broncos sell to Jeff Bezos?
I'd be fine with it. I think that my experience with Paul Allen was a very good one. Paul has a similar situation. Obviously, it was worth a just boatload of money, owned multiple professional teams, different sports, and had a lot of interest. Yet he provided everything that we could possibly need to succeed. And I think the Bezos, I think he's looking for something else to pour his mind into. And I bet you he would not even be absentee.
No, the Broncos should not sell to Bezos, but if they had to, I would understand. Because here we're talking about a guy who's run successful businesses before. He's rubbing elbows right now currently with some NFL owners who, in that circle, they really like him. When you have guys like Daniel Snyder, Jerry Jones, and also you spend the past Super Bowl with Commissioner Roger Goodell, he's in good company. And they want this Bronco organization to be in great hands. If they were to do it, you know there's going to be some checks and balances in place, and we will not see what we're experiencing right now from, you know, the lack of ownership with the Denver Broncos.
I think it'd be fine if Bezos owned the Broncos. The Broncos have been owned by four different owners, not just the Bolin family. I don't think... It's impossible for me to believe that Pat Bowlen's wishes were for Jeff Bezos to own the team. But then again, you've got to act in the best interest of the team. There was a little interesting twist at Vic Fangio's press conference today. In attendance was Annabelle Bowlen, the daughter of Annabelle Bowlen. She's known as Little Belle, but her name is the same, Annabelle. And apparently she's in a class at the University of Colorado Denver Social and Media Production. So she was there in attendance with like six other college kids. I saw them. They were all sitting in the back row near the TV cameras.
Field trip time.
It was field trip time. I just thought it must have been a weird moment for her classmates to be sitting next to somebody who theoretically could actually own the Denver Broncos. And they're in a class about media relations. And it was just one of those weird moments, fellas, you know. You know, it's like, hey, what do you think about the Broncos? Oh, my, you know, dad owns them.
Oh, really?
Ring it, Richie.
Would you guys say, from what you've seen out of Dwayne Haskins so far this year, that he looks like a worthy starting quarterback?
Yes, he's still a first-round draft pick. Start him.
No. Hold on. What you've seen on the field?
No, he looked terrible on the field. But right. Start him. Why'd you draft him?
Okay, so the Washington Redskins, Bill Callahan, he just went ahead and announced that he is going to start the remaining seven games.
Well, they're 1-7, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Go ahead, start him. Who cares?
Here's my point. He does not look good. I would not expect him to look good. When Drew Locke goes on the field, I don't expect him to look good.
I wouldn't either.
But sometimes when you get in this situation as a franchise, you look towards the future, and that's exactly what the Washington Redskins are doing, and I believe that's exactly what the Denver Broncos should be doing.
Sorry, 1-8. Nick?
Well, looking at the Washington Redskins and their dysfunction, I mean, for Dwayne Haskins, yes, he's looked bad, but all of that is not on him. I mean, that organization, you know, Trent Williams, his situation, inability to really run the ball effectively, Jay Gruden being fired, and you have to ask, well, did Jay Gruden put him in an excellent situation to be successful? So when you look at the Broncos currently and what they're dealing with Drew Locke, I mean, does he fit the system? Do you change things to cater to his ability? If you feel as though he is your quarterback of the future, I agree. Why wait? Stick him in there right now. Let him be baptized by fire, as though the phrase is traditionally coined, and let's see what you have. Either he's going to show up and say, okay, well, I was put down by this organization, but I'm going to show you that I can play, or he's going to go the opposite way, put his tail between his legs, and we're going to know we have in Drew Locke.
Well, ring it, Richie.
So Lamar Jackson amazes us yet again, and I don't know if you guys saw the play when the Baltimore Ravens had two quarterbacks on the field with Lamar Jackson and RG3.
That was the Heisman play because Ingram was on the field at the same time as well.
And I really love the fact that Greg Roman decided to do this and implement both quarterbacks into the equation. But how long do you think that this type of idea, this type of scheme is sustainable or will be sustainable in the NFL?
I don't know. I think it's sustainable as long as you want to sustain it. Taysom Hill is working some kind of quirkiness like this down in New Orleans. I mean, if you've got athletic players, play them. If you can hand RG3 or get him the ball and he can do something with it, go for it. What are you afraid of?
Well, be more specific with your question because I heard it a different way than D-Mac. Were you asking about getting the ball to athletic players in a creative manner?
Well, no, just the idea of having a dynamic player, the quarterback position like a Lamar Jackson, where you can come up with all these creative nuances where it looks like a college scheme and then implement them in the NFL and have it be sustainable for a long period of time.
Well, what Lamar Jackson is doing is sustainable because he is playing as a pocket passer. He absolutely is. He's making a lot of plays with his feet. And it's incredible what he's doing with his feet. But when he's throwing the ball, he's throwing inside the pocket, and he's proving people wrong. So if you have a guy that can do what he's doing, make plays with your feet, yeah, play with tempo, play with rhythm, and play as a pocket passer all at the same time, of course you can win ball games doing that, and I believe you can win championships doing that.
Maria Richie. Wrap it up. Hey, I tell you what, Loveland. I love Loveland. I cannot wait to get up there this week. Dustin, I'm coming for you. Parker the Snow Dog, I'll see you there. They're officially open, and we're giving away a Loveland 4-pack to the fourth caller right now at 303-713-1043. And don't forget, you can purchase your own Loveland 4-pack at SkiLoveland.com. It's so absurdly affordable. No restrictions, no blackout days, completely transferable. Not epic, not iconic. Loveland, the best. They're only available until November 24th. Fourth caller, 303-713-1043. you're winning a Loveland four-pack. How cool is that? Colt McCoy, what's your story?
So a couple years ago, go down to Texas on a quail hunt, and it was incredible, by the way. If you're a hunter, man, that was a dream opportunity. Go down to South Texas, birds everywhere. It's kind of like the Wild Wild West. And as I was on this quail hunt, I decided, okay, I would like to go shoot a buck. So beforehand, I applied, picked up a tag, and was fortunate enough to be able to try to knock out two birds with one stone type of thing, right? I'm down there on a trip on a quail hunt, decided I want to take down a buck at the same time. And so Colt is an avid outdoorsman. I mean, avid, lives, breathes, dies. I mean, it is all about hunting, fishing, anything, yeah. Right? And so Colt, he comes along for the bird hunting. And one of the days, we decide to step away from the group, and we're going to go find me a buck. So we sit up in a blind all day long.
It's you and Colt. And
just me and Colt. And you know,
how do you fit into a blind?
Oh, well, this isn't the type of blind that you're thinking of. This is like there's a stand, it's like a room. It's like a room. I mean, you're sitting on a stool. It's not miserable. Okay. So anyways, we're sitting in that thing all day long, man, for hours and hours, and nothing's coming along. Finally, right about dusk, a beautiful buck comes rolling in, and it's sitting right behind this tree. And Colt, keep in mind, Colt's just along for the ride, just being a good buddy. And, it's getting debatable whether it's getting too dark or not. And so trying to make a good decision here, be a smart hunter, you know, but yet at the same time, we've been sitting in that thing all day long, hanging out behind the tree. It finally pops its head out and I take a shot and I miss. And so this thing, it takes off and now I just unload. I unload everything that's in my gun and I miss everything, right? So we'd been sitting in there for 5-6 hours. Colt has a wife who is basically Giselle for Tom Brady. Okay. I mean, she is gorgeous.
Quarterbacks,
right? They got it all.
Texas.
Right?
Okay.
So he doesn't say a word. I miss. Now it's too dark to try to find anything else. And he just pulls out his phone, swipes to the left, finds a picture of his wife holding a picture of a giant buck, and he says, my wife shot this last night. And he walks out and doesn't say another word to me. And he was legitimately mad at me that I missed that thing. Legitimately didn't talk to me for 24 hours because he sat in that blind with me for so long and I missed.
Did you take aim at the buck? I mean, did you kind of get him right in the crosshairs and just completely miss him?
Yeah, that's the entire story. Yeah.
Why did he take it so personal?
Because he is an avid. I mean, you ever played sports with somebody? You ever played pickup basketball with somebody that lost the game and they felt like it was your fault?
Wow. Were you surprised by his reaction?
Well,
did you apologize?
First off, I mean, he knew what he was doing when he pulled out a picture of his beautiful wife and said, hey, my wife could do this. Right. Well, you couldn't do it.
Right.
You know? So that was the first shot fired. I was a little bit surprised. I mean, I thought by the next morning we'd be making fun of it or something.
No.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Did you get an opportunity to go back and redeem yourself?
I did not. So the last time I've ever been hunting with Colt, I missed. Yeah.
Do you think he would ever take you hunting again?
No chance. There's no chance.
Oh, that's too funny.
You take his wife before he takes you, right?
I mean, I kind of, I've been skiing with somebody who said they were a really good skier. And I'm like, okay. And we're at a, Vail.
Yeah.
Which isn't the easiest or cheapest place to get to. And this dude just was terrible. And it, ruined the entire afternoon. Because I just had to, all right, Jimmy, let's, oh.
Did you lose your friendship over it?
I wouldn't go skiing with him again. I'll tell you that.
So basically he's saying that's exactly how Colt feels about Tyler.
Kinda. I mean, I kinda get it. You know, because I don't know. You must have told him you could do it at some point.
Well, no, actually, he knew that I was a bird. I'm a bird hunter. Maybe that's on him a little bit.
Jimmy told me he was such a good skier.
Hold on. I'm not trying to make him out to be a bad guy. Like, the moral of the story was really the part where he swiped to find his wife. That was really the funny part. It was just ironic that he got so bad.
Hey, I want to play you really quick. Mike Greenberg about Chase Young.
But at the end of the day, in the United States of America, the notion of a human being borrowing money from someone else he knows and paying it back should be absolutely no one's business but that of the two people that are directly involved. It is steadfastly ridiculous. And I'm not going to sit here and suggest I think that people at the NCAA have evil intentions. I don't believe that. I don't know them to be that way. But I do wonder, when they look in the mirror after making a decision like this, what do you see? What is it you think you've accomplished? How have you made anything better by doing this? It doesn't make any sense. And if that kid winds up not playing in big college football games because he borrowed money from someone he knew to fly his girlfriend to the Rose Bowl, it is steadfastly ridiculous, and the best interest of absolutely no one was served.
Well said. It's ridiculous what the NCAA puts priorities on. I mean, are you kidding me?
The only thing missing from this story is the actual dollar figure that he borrowed. I mean, if it's as innocent as he borrowed $250 to send his girlfriend on a flight, this is one of the more outrageous stories I've heard. Now, like anything, we have not heard the entire story. But there's no justification whatsoever. I mean, where do you draw the line now? Where do you draw the line? So if my uncle took care of me growing up and I needed some money when I was in college, this is a theoretical, by the way, and I needed some money when I was in college and I asked him for $500 so I could pay my rent and buy some food, and he gave it to me and I paid him back, is that an NCAA violation?
Without details, don't need them. Nick, did you ever accept money in a illegal NCAA way while you were at Georgia Tech?
No, not at all.
Definitely did not.
No.
Tyler?
No, I did not.
Why are you grinning at me a little bit?
What do you think we're going to say?
I think all these years later you'd be honest.
Do you know?
No, I did not. I mean, look.
He looked up to the left. See, there's something there.
There's something there.
He looked up to the left.
Guys, I was a nobody. I was not the type of guy you were paying money to.
Okay.
No.
Real quick, should we be enthusiastic? Because Chase Young is very well known. He easily could be making a lot of money, or some money at least, off of his name there at Ohio State. Is that going to be a good thing when that finally goes through and he's able to do that? But all athletes will be able to do that.
Of course.
That's a positive, right?
Absolutely, that's a positive.
Positive.
Me too. Okay.
I feel sad for, you know, Chase Young and a guy who I coach with in San Francisco, who's their defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, because now you may not have him in about four games.
When we come back, Drew Lock. What another interesting day. We'll dig into that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by First Bank. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus, Nick Ferguson, and D-Mac.
Okay, fellas, the big news is Drew Lock. He's going to practice this week. Remember I said, you know, the whole season was going to, you know, the future of the Broncos was dependent upon Drew Lock practicing or not.
Whoop-dee-doo. Now, what does that mean?
It means they're starting the clock. They're starting the clock.
So the clock has started. But what does it mean in the grand scheme of things?
You got 21 days to figure out if Drew Lock's going to play this year or not. That's really what it is. And you got to figure out how you're really going to develop him and get him ready.
Well,
time starts.
That's the real question. I mean, what is the plan? What is the game plan? To me, I still don't see what the game plan is. you know, and even when Vic Fangio got up there and spoke to the press today, he had an opportunity to just totally articulate, hey, here's our desires for Drew Lock. Here's what we want to see from Drew Lock in order to put him on the field. And matter of fact, to me, it kind of would have been nice to hear him go up there and say, you know what, guys, we can't wait to get Drew Lock on the field. This was our second round draft pick. I understand the pressure out there. I understand why you guys continue to ask all these questions. Mm-hmm. When is he going to play? But trust me, we've got the plan. This is when he's going to play. Give us the specific date and, you know, just act like you've got a vested interest in it as well. But to me, all I hear is, well, we're going to see what he looks like. We're going to see how Brandon Allen does. If Brandon Allen continues to play good football, then Drew Lock might not go on the field. Okay. So he's starting practice, but what did we learn really?
You know, there was a moment over the weekend because he celebrated his 23rd birthday and there was a moment that I was like, oh, that's, you know, really sweet and nice. And I'm looking at Drew Lock and I'm actually feeling bad for him a little bit.
Why? Why are you feeling bad for him?
Because I felt like a dad would feel about my son who is being put in a situation that there's so many questions. And as a parent, we're all dads. You naturally want to protect your kids. You naturally want to keep them out of harm's way or make sure things are going in the right direction for them. And I think it's confusing, no matter what. And I hope Drew did go home with his family, which he obviously did a little bit of the bye week. And I hope he was able just to take a breath and realize there's people that love and support him. And no matter what we're saying here on the radio, I'm not personally against Drew Lock at all. He seems like a really nice guy. And he's a young guy. Sometimes I do forget how young these guys really are. And it's a lot to put on a 23-year-old, for sure. But that's the case that we're in, and that's how we're evaluating things. And not only are we looking at a 23-year-old guy, we're looking at quarterbacks in college that are, you know, even younger to put in that position. So it's just a moment of me feeling a little protective, kind of like Andy Locke, his dad, would feel.
Here's why you should feel bad for him. With Paxton Lynch, everything feels like the exact same as Paxton Lynch, right? You got the high draft pick. You don't hear anything from him. Then you've got an opportunity to get him out there on the field, and the organization doesn't want to put him out there on the field, right? Well, at least with Paxton Lynch, we knew that there were storylines coming out of the building. At least we understood that we were talking about the Xbox. We were talking about the hours logged, that you could see how many hours he's playing on video games. And the hours were outrageous, right? We heard the stories about the lack of commitment towards football and whether the guy was truly passionate about football. Well, I feel bad for Drew Lock because I haven't heard a single story coming out of that building. Now, either the building is doing an incredible job of protecting what is going on, and that Drew Lock is doing something wrong. Maybe he was showing up late for meetings. Maybe he didn't care about the rehab process. I don't think that's the case, because generally speaking, those storylines come out. Or the alternative is that they truly have no reason to be down on Drew Lock right now, and yet they won't even give him an opportunity to play. So that's why I feel bad. At least Paxton Lynch, we knew the storylines. At least there was a reason why they didn't want to put him on the field.
Well, I'm glad that there aren't no similar storylines to that of Paxton Lynch. That mm-hmm. the fact that, hey, listen, we don't really know on the outside looking in who this kid really is. And I mean, for Drew Lock, I would definitely be frustrated that here's a team that drafted me and they're not really showing a lot of faith in me. But at the same time, it should be something that should motivate him to go out there and play well. I mean, when Chris Harris was asked about Brandon Allen before he made his first start, he said, well, he didn't want to really talk about him openly based on what he saw on scout team. So this is an opportunity for Drew Lock to now get his revenge a little on scout team and say, listen, you guys are down on me. I'm going to go out there on scout team and I'm going to light up this defense so much that you're not going to have a choice.
I hope it's not just scout team.
Boy,
it better not just be scout team. I mean, they should have a plan in place that starting tomorrow, the first day that Drew Lock actually gets on that practice field, he is going to be a part of the number ones. You absolutely can do that. There's no reason why you could not do that.
But you're taking the reps away from Brandon Allen.
And who cares?
Those are your two quarterbacks who's your start, and Brandon Allen and Brett Rippin is your backup. Playing against Buffalo in Minnesota.
I get it. And I could not care less if I took reps away from them. Right now, you got to get Drew Lock on the field. So this is not about protecting Tom Brady. This is not about taking reps away from Peyton Manning. This isn't about even taking reps away from, I don't know, name another mid-tier starter in the NFL. This is about taking reps away from a guy who was cut in the preseason, who was never supposed to play football this year in Brandon Allen. And right now there's a guy behind him who is supposed to play football. So I am A-okay with taking reps away from him.
You're saying supposed to, and I guess, is that in reference to Drew Lock? Or
no, Brandon Allen.
Okay. So with all of that said, if the Broncos feel that way, then just go ahead and don't worry about the 21 days. Go ahead and put Drew Lock in. Let him be your starter for Minnesota and Buffalo. Because if not, and you still don't believe in him, you got to get these other two guys ready.
I'm okay with giving him practice time. I'm not suggesting they got to put him out there and start against Minnesota this week. But what I am suggesting is that there should be a very specific practice plan in place in which he is getting reps with the ones throughout the week. Give him a week or two to go ahead and get practice underneath his belt and then put him in as the starter.
Joe Burrow.
Isn't that something?
Oh, my goodness. We're going to go to Reggie Chapman, sports reporter at WBRZ-TV in Baton Rouge. And Joe Burrow, can the Broncos get him? Before it was like, who's Joe Burrow? We're in a different conversation now. We'll have that next.
Action Monday, presented by First Bank. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis, Nick Ferguson, and D-Mac.
All right, our guest is Reggie Chapman. He's a sports reporter for WBRZ-TV. And Baton Rouge, Reggie, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, man, we are so excited for you guys. What an incredible game with LSU and Alabama. And Joe Burrow, no hiding on Joe Burrow anymore. First of all, maybe let me just start there. What has he meant to that community?
Man, it's unbelievable. He's kind of become a cult hero very quickly. It's interesting. You watch a lot of the interviews and you listen to him talk. And really with Louisiana, and interestingly enough, since he's from Ohio, he talks about how the universal language really is just toughness and grit and working hard. And it's interesting how Joe's kind of epitomized that instantly when he came in. I mean, when he first came out to the first practice, I remember reading and hearing of stories of he was trying to beat everybody in the conditioning lines and try to get in everybody's faces and just kind of earn the respect quickly. And he earned the respect, and, you know, just based on the confidence and the way he plays, man, he's an absolute hero. We've been looking for the Tigers and Tiger fans have been looking for a quarterback for years and years, and Joe Burrow's finally brought that.
Reggie, I'm going to give Joe Burrow the Beignet of the Year award because he's been playing, you know, lights out. For those individuals who haven't had a chance to see him, I mean, what's the difference between Joe Burrow in 2019 opposed to Joe Burrow in 2018?
Honestly, I mean, you just look at the biggest thing people are going to give the credit to, of course, is just the fact that they've changed the entire offense at LSU. LSU hired in Joe Brady, who's now the one of the passing game coordinators, the offensive assistant. He works with the offense coordinator, Steve Ensminger, and they changed the offense to the spread. And interestingly enough, it's a offense that Joe Burrow played for most of his life. When he came to LSU, LSU was still kind of in the Stone Age running stuff where he was under center a lot of the time, and that's not something he was really comfortable doing. So you add a offense that he's very comfortable with. He's just able to, I guess he has a different level of confidence now, personally. I mean, just from watching him play, he has a better grasp of the offense. And, you know, he's making throws and anticipating throws in a way that he really wasn't doing last year. And part of that also has to do with the offense. Part of it has to do with his relationship with his receivers. I mean, it helps when you've got two, maybe three guys that are going to go maybe first round in the draft in the next couple of years. So it's really interesting to see how Joe's kind of improved. His arm strength seems like he's improved. He's significantly more accurate. He's up in the upper percentile of quarterbacks and just the completion percentage. And Man, he's just playing out of this world, and it's unbelievable to kind of see a guy in an LSU uniform throwing the ball this way.
You know, Joe, he has been on the move in all the mock drafts for the last few weeks now. Anytime you beat Florida, you beat Texas, teams are going to start talking about you, and, you know, the scouts are going to start having a little bit more respect for you. But now you get the victory over Alabama, and there are a lot of mock drafts out there right now that have got him going number one overall. Are you surprised by this kind of skyrocket rise?
I mean, it's meteoric, honestly. I mean, to see how he played last year, obviously, just based on how people see the quarterback position at LSU, people thought he was good last year just in this area. But if you look at the stats, just he was just okay, average to a little bit under average, right? But he comes in this year, it's been unbelievable. And it has honestly really been surprising. I mean, before the season started, we went down to a little city called Thibodaux, Louisiana, where they do the Manning Passing Academy every year.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Burrow was invited to go, and he was out there with some of the best arms in the country. Of course, Trevor Lawrence was out there, and Tua wasn't out there this year. He was out there last year. I mean, they have some of the bigger names in the country out there, Jake Fromm, Kelly Bryant, like just huge names, just biggest quarterbacks in the country. And Joe came out and said a couple of things. One, he said that he felt like the way he was playing, the way he was throwing, he could really compete with anybody that was there. And two, he promised to the media and myself that LSU would be scoring 30, 40, 50 points a game. We all looked at him like he was crazy. And to see it kind of happening and seeing it happen, I guess, against teams like Alabama, which I think I read a stat. He had 3 touchdowns in the first half on Saturday. I think in the past 6 or 7 years, I think LSU quarterbacks have only accounted for 4 touchdowns combined, or 5, I think. So he's just on a different level than any of these other quarterbacks we've had over the last decade, honestly.
So you're down in Louisiana, you cover LSU, you cover the Saints. We're up here in Denver, and you must be like, why do you guys even care? Well, you see where I'm going. If you were to have a quarterback next year, if you were to pick a quarterback next year, would you have Joe Burrow or would you have Teddy Bridgewater?
Man, personally, I mean, I've gotten to see both of them play, obviously. I think that, interestingly enough, I'd probably go with Joe Burrow just based off of the fact that, you know, there's really that it's not the safe bet. I mean, I think if you go with Teddy Bridgewater, it's a safer bet. But you have to pay him more money, obviously, because he's going to be getting a huge contract this offseason. You know, obviously went 5-0 at the start for the Saints this year. And he just, the way Teddy plays is in a way where he does what you need to do to win the game versus taking shots. And he takes care of the football and he just makes the right plays. I think if you go with Joe Burrow, you have a chance to have a very good quarterback. Obviously, and this is, you know, a little bit deeper, but when you have the rookie quarterback contract and stuff like that, that saves you a little bit of money also to go out, get a couple new guys, and you can really rebuild a franchise. So, I mean, personally, I'd probably go with Joe, but, I mean, you really can't go wrong with either guy. Teddy played really well in the 5-star.
Hold on, Reggie. Play. You only get to pick one. So is it?
I'm saying Joe. I'm just letting you know that, you know, if Teddy ends up out there, you also have a good guy.
But, right.
You know, personally, I'm going Joe all the way.
All right. And we're excited about Joe Burrow. The concern here now in Denver, Reggie, obvious, is that the Broncos won't be bad enough to get Joe Burrow, where nobody was even talking about him. Even really, they really weren't talking about him even like 2 weeks ago. Not really. And boy, has that changed. So you got a good story down there, Reggie. I'm sure you're excited to have whatever time's left with them. And I'm sure everybody's really enjoying things in Louisiana.
Yeah, it's a great time out here right now. And, you know, like you mentioned, it's funny. It's for when Drew Brees getting a little older and Teddy maybe leaving, there was talk initially of like, man, maybe because he's been under the Joe Brady system who was at the Saints, maybe they're going to get Joe Burrow. But it doesn't seem like that's
no way. No.
Commodity.
Well, they didn't play well yesterday, but the Saints are probably too good to be in that sweepstakes. We're worried about the Broncos. And they only got 3 wins. All right, my friend, we appreciate it. Laissez les bons temps rouler.
Yo.
Very well done.
All right.
Very well done.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Reggie.
Thanks, Reg.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, great stuff from Reggie Chapman, sports reporter from WBRZ-TV in Baton Rouge. We have Monday Night Football. How about that? That comes up next right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.